Robinhood Radio presents Between the Stacks, a weekly chat about our local libraries.
Hi, everyone. I'm Meg Scher. I'm the executive director of the David M. Hunt Library in Falls Village, Connecticut. And I'm here with Anne Havemeyer, the executive director of the Norfolk Library. Good morning, Anne.
Good morning, Meg. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Fine, thanks.
So today we're going to start off exploring how our libraries are funded. Each library is funded in different ways, and it's interesting and informative for communities to understand how all of the services that we provide are funded. Anne, do you want to start talking about how the Norfolk Library is funded?
Absolutely. The Norfolk Library was founded back in 1888, and we are an association library, which is a library that is an independent from the town. We, however, are supported nominally by the town of Norfolk, which is very nice. They give us a small amount of money every year, which is about 0.4% of our total budget.
Oh, wow.
80% of our budget comes from the endowment, a draw from the endowment, so we're very lucky to have that. Almost 12%, I'm talking about last year's figures, basically through June of 2024. Our annual appeal, which we do once a year, totals about 12% of our budget. We are very lucky to have a wonderful group called the Library Associates who raise money for us. They're actually a service arm of the library, and they were founded 50 years ago. We've been celebrating their 50th anniversary. They raise money through an annual book sale. They not only do that, but they're very involved in planning events and in mounting monthly art exhibits. So we don't really refer to them as a friends, although they're main mission is to raise money for the library, and they give us about 5% of our budget every year, and that's earmarked totally toward events so that we can have events free of charge.
And that's so wonderful.
It's just a terrific service that they provide. And in fact, as part of the celebration of their 50th anniversary, I've written a book about the Norfolk Library.
Amazing.
Starting actually in 1888 and bringing it up through the present. We're hoping it will be available for the holidays. As I said, the town of Norfolk is about 0.4%. The state of Connecticut, which we get a little bit of money participating in the interlibrary loan system, is about 0.01%. And then we just have a category that's miscellany. So that is our source of funds, and I can speak more about our use of funds if you'd like, but Meg, you should take the next
sure.
bit of time to talk about the Falls Village Library.
Yeah. Great. Thanks, Anne. And it's so fascinating to me to hear from you how you're funded and, you know, compare it to how we're funded. Right? We're both small-town libraries, and really it varies from library to library.
Yeah.
So this year, the Hunt Library has about an $181,000 budget. And we recently this year lobbied the town for an increase. We are also an association library, so we are an independent library, but we receive more funding from the town of Falls Village than Norfolk does. So last year it was 31%, and we garnered a lot of public support for the library to increase the funding to the library. People wrote letters. They showed up at meetings. They really talked about library programming and how it supports the community and all the different things that we offered. So we were so grateful for community support, and we were able to move that 31% up to 36%. So 36% of the Hunt's budget comes from the town of Falls Village. 14% of our budget also comes from our endowment. And then the other 50% is from fundraising. So we also have a wonderful friends group. We call them the Friends. They run monthly book sales. They run fundraising events, the plant sale in May that maybe people have been to. Also, our board runs a number of fundraisers. We do a lot of fundraising at this library. And then individuals and businesses. And that's basically how our funding breaks down at the Hunt.
That's wonderful. It is interesting to compare. Our budget for last year was $660,000.
Oh, my goodness.
So,
right.
That is, a partially, probably, I would say 60% of that are salaries and benefits.
Mm-hmm.
We have a staff of 8. I imagine you don't have as big a staff as we do.
Right.
For buildings and grounds, of course, we try to keep up with preserving our wonderful historic building.
Right.
Use of
us
funds
too.
Was about 20% of that was went for buildings and grounds. And 5% went toward books and media. And again, the library programs. So we break down our budget in that way, but by far the biggest chunk certainly is the salaries and benefits for the staff.
Right, and I would say the same is for us, that, you know, we have a... And how many people do you have on staff?
We have actually 7 on staff. We also have 2 interns, which are high school students that work here every other weekend, just to find out what it's like to work at a library.
Oh, that's so great.
Yeah, it's a great opportunity for them, but they're...
That's wonderful. So I would say that salaries also account for most of, you know, the highest percentage of our budget. We have 4 people, and
yeah,
2 are
exactly.
Very part-time.
Yeah. Ours actually are part-time, too. I'm the only full-time staff.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. Me,
yeah,
too.
I think, yeah. I mean, it's kind of a little bit in the nature of the job, of a library job, I feel... that, you know, for instance, it would be onerous for a circulation staff person to be at the desk for 8 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So we're lucky to have the wonderful staff that we have in that they're able to work part-time and still, you know, get
yes,
the financial
absolutely.
Benefit of, you know, cost of living, whatever. So.
Right. Great. Well, let's talk about books.
Yeah.
One of my favorite topics. And do you know what some of the most requested books at Norfolk have been in the last few weeks?
I do. I was given that information by the circulation staff, since I'm not usually at the circulation desk. But the books with the most holds, we had 2, The God of the Woods by Liz Moore and The Housekeeper's Secret by Iona Gray.
Oh, great. So ours is also The God of the Woods.
Oh, okay.
That's one of ours, too.
Yeah.
And Elizabeth Strout's Tell Me Everything, which I know I am on the holds list for and looking forward to reading.
Yes. For nonfiction, we have Why Animals Talk by Arik Kirschenbaum. And we do have quite a following in terms of nature, animals, and the like.
You guys have been doing some great programming around hiking and reading, which I've been admiring.
Yes. We have our Books and Boots program, which we do in conjunction with the Norfolk Land Trust, and we usually use one of their trails and pick out a book in conjunction with that hike. You do not have to have read the book in order to participate. The discussion happens kind of serendipitously as they're hiking, and we have that coming up actually at the end of the month. They're going to be walking in what we call our Barber Woods on a swamp trail that apparently is full of mushrooms. And they're
going to
be discussing Entangled Life, how fungi make our worlds, change our minds, and shape our futures.
That's awesome.
Sheldrake.
How great.
Yeah.
And is there something that you've been reading that you've been enjoying recently?
You know, this summer I read the Pulitzer Prize-winning book by Jane Ann Phillips, Night Watch.
Oh.
I'm a huge fan of historical fiction. I just absolutely adore it. And this takes place during the Civil War. It's just an astonishing book. So beautifully written and just extremely poignant. And it basically tells the story, happens during the war and after the war, and a lot of it takes place in the Pennsylvania, actually West Virginia, Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum in West Virginia, which is accurate. I mean, it's an historical, it's a place that took care of those who were wounded and suffered from mental illness, and it basically tells the story of how they recovered through empathy and compassion, very sort of forward-looking real-life man, Dr. Thomas Story Kirkbridge. He had a theory of moral treatment, which really focused on compassion. So it's just a beautifully written book, and I highly recommend it.
Great.
How about you, Meg?
I just read the new Sally Rooney called Intermezzo, and I've really enjoyed everything that she wrote, and this one was no different. This time, she's writing about two brothers. One of them is a chess genius, and they're both, you know, their father just died, and they're trying to figure themselves out and where they land without their beloved parent and dealing with grief. There's some housing crisis commentary in there, and I really enjoyed it, and I found it interesting. Often, you know, this was her first book with really male main characters, and I found that to be really interesting, and I just really enjoyed it.
Wonderful. I will add it to my list.
Yeah, great. And what kinds of events are coming up at the Norfolk Library?
So we've just, we have a little bit of a quiet weekend. We just finished our Haystack Book Talks Festival weekend, which was last weekend. And
right.
We had 400 people come through the library.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, a wonderful series of conversations between authors. This weekend we have, on Sunday, our Norfolk Knitters, who meet every Friday, are hosting an event which they're calling Knitting for Warmth. And
nice.
They've invited people to come to the library and sit around. I don't think they'll have a fire, but they'll be knitting knitting warm clothes for those in need of warm clothes this winter, mittens, scarves, hats. They're going to be donating the finished items to The Gathering Place, which is a drop-in center for unhoused folks in Torrington. So that is our event for the weekend. We're actually closed on Monday for Indigenous Peoples Day.
Right.
And we do have some things coming up after that, but do you want to let me know what you have coming up for the near future?
Sure. Yeah, we have a book talk. I don't know if people know about the book Dear Sister. It's about a domestic violence case. The woman's name is Nikki. I can't remember her last name, but her sister wrote a book about her case. I think it happened in the Pine Plains area. So Michelle Horton is the author of the book, Nikki's sister, and we're hosting a book talk with Project Sage. October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. So on October 24th at 6 p.m., we'll be at the Center on Main in downtown Falls Village with Michelle and people from Project Sage talking about this book and domestic violence and raising awareness. We also have another author talk for kids, which I'm really excited about. Gabrielle Davis is a local author. This summer, she was doing the library circuit with her book Peaches. And in the fall, she has a new book out called Our Joyful Noise. So October 26th, which is a Saturday at 10:30, Gabrielle will be here reading her book, doing some crafts related to the book, and books will be for sale. And something else that's happening that my husband is really excited about is we're having a Bigfoot program on November 7th at 5:30. Yeah, so there's this guy, Mike Familiant. His full-time job is researching Bigfoot and moving around the country trying to find Bigfoot. So he's going to come to the library and talk about his work. Wow. And it's something different, for sure.
Yes, absolutely. We have a film festival, not a festival, but a series of classic films that we've done every year. Last year was Joan Crawford, and this year we're doing Betty Davis. So we're starting that film series on Friday, October 18th, with her film Dark Victory, a 1939 film. And we feel fortunate in our great hall to have a nice audiovisual system, big screen.
Mm.
People say they enjoy coming to the movies, even though they could watch it at home.
Right.
But it's always fun to watch them on the big screen. So Betty Davis starts us out. And then the following week, we have two documentary films that we're showing. Ratified, which is the passage of the Equal Rights Amendment, which actually was ratified, took years for it to be ratified, but it was ratified in 2020 and is still not part of the United States Constitution.
Wow.
Which is really shocking. So we're showing that film on Wednesday, October 23rd, and it's part of a sort of a, we're calling them docs for documentary because it's mostly sort of a civic, a lesson in civics, and will be followed by a discussion. So the following evening, on Thursday, the 24th, we're showing the film The Candidate, not the Robert Redford film. I think there was a Robert Redford film entitled The Candidate. This is a documentary about a candidate and his efforts to run for Congress without any support, virtually didn't get any support from corporate interests. And it was a difficult race, so it's sort of an interest look at how a campaign can function without too much of that sort of financial support. Anyway, so we're looking forward to those two films in a couple of weeks.
Great. Well, thanks so much for chatting with me this morning, Anne. It was really fun.
Yeah, it was fun.
Between the Stacks is produced at the facilities of Robin Hood Radio 91.9 FM, Sharon, Connecticut.